How do you feel about your local library? Boundless adoration? Or maybe that it doesn't quite fit your needs? We often assume a library has to be government run, but actually anyone can start one, theoretically. And new tiny independent libraries are starting to spring up around our towns, offering more niche curated selections of books, and they're building communities in a slightly different way too. Rainbow Hassan is the founder of Rainbow's Library in Brunswick, an inner suburb of Melbourne. Hi, Rainbow.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thanks for coming in. And Lucy Loy is the community manager at Seventh Gallery in Richmond, also in inner Melbourne. There's a bit of a theme emerging here. And that's launching a community library and reading room soon too. Hi, Lucy.
Hi.
And Rainbow, let's start with Rainbow's Library, how it started, and tell me a bit about what the space is like inside.
Oh, okay. So beginning of last year, I got really sick of just working a grindy, like, hospitality job, and I've, you know, tried to go to uni on and off for years and not had the brain type for it. Struggle with systems and bureaucracy. And I was like, you know what? I love stories. I love reading. I love talking to people. I would love to create a independent library space. I was, like, struggling to find, like, books to read on from. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be reading something and I would, like, go and try and find something that automatically led on. And I wouldn't be able to find it at the bookstore or at any of the libraries that I knew. And so I was like, you know what? If I'm having this problem, other people probably are too. Why not do that? So I started collecting books and then I found a space. It was offered to me by some friends who run studios out of like a unused space in Brunswick. And it went from there.
So how have you built up that collection? Because like you say, you're focusing on books that are kind of following your interests and leading on from ones you've already been reading. How are you collecting those books together?
Raiding secondhand bookstores, raiding op shops, online, hunting things down, all sorts of avenues. Like sometimes just getting really, really lucky at Savers.
Which, for people who don't know, it's like a giant secondhand store of many, many wonderful things.
And it's just like the space inside of where I am. It was like an empty room, and me and my friend Sam, who I run the space with, we essentially collected junk off the street and fitted it out hodgepodge and like jammed like 3,500 books and a whole heap of secondhand clothes in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, so it's got everything. It's like Savers itself.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. Well, I'd like to think a little bit more, you know, pushing out.
Yeah. Tell me why you decided to start this library, you know. I mean, obviously you've got a particularly curated selection of books, but why were the local council libraries not fulfilling that need for you, given that there are quite a few of them in your local government area?
It's true, but I suppose I feel like I was told somewhere along the line that libraries can only hold books for a certain amount of time before they have to get rid of them to create more space, like to create a flow. So like things that aren't like borrowed for more than 3 months, they need to be moved along in some libraries. And I feel like a lot of the stuff that I like to read sort of sits outside of that or hasn't been recognized as part of a canon, or it remains unpublished or whatever. So, like, I wanted to rescue those books.
Yeah, rescue is a fantastic term to put in there. Lucy Loy, tell us about the kind of work Seventh Gallery does and why you decided to kind of tack a library onto it.
Okay, yeah, sure. So Seventh is an artist-run space. It's an artist-run initiative. It's been around in Melbourne for 20-plus years.
So basically it's not a kind of rich person gallery, hugely funded. It's a group of artists getting together.
It's a group of artists getting together. I mean, the role of artist-run spaces in the community has changed, I suppose, since they started popping up. And they have a kind of, they come along with a history, and there's many of them in Melbourne, and I'm sure many of your listeners will have visited quite a few of them. But I suppose last year, the team, so the staff and our board, got together and we did some brainstorming, and we kind of reassessed the role of what these places can play in the community, in society. And we have kind of, I guess because we're all artists who are involved in running the space, also the changing role of artists, young artists, emerging artists, or artists that kind of sit outside the mainstream institutions, and what do artists actually offer communities as well. And it's, I think we all could unanimously decided that it wasn't just exhibition making. It wasn't just pumping out artworks every 3.5 weeks, which has kind of been the ARI model for a long time.
3.5 weeks? I'm just pausing for a minute to go, oh my God. Okay.
So yes, hopefully we'll have longer exhibitions in the future. But I think that model has been, it's been very useful and it's served a bigger community in the past. But we, talked a lot about other things that artists do. And we, all agreed that artists kind of are researchers, they're creators of knowledge, they're sharers of knowledge. They are often, they often wear many hats. So artists often work in bars and they also read a lot in libraries and they teach and they do gardens and they do so many other things. And so...
Well, yeah, what I'm hearing from both of you, Rainbow Hassan and Lucy Loy, is like there's a storytelling aspect, there's a community aspect.
Yeah.
And I was reading this fascinating thing the other day that suggested that libraries are a kind of fourth place. So, you know, there's work and there's home for most of us. And then there's the third places, the kind of places we can go to hang out, like libraries or cafes or parks or whatever. But the fourth place is a place for intellectual and creative stimulation. That's for our intellectual and creative lives. Is that partly what you're trying to achieve with these spaces?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that we're trying to create a bit of a decentralized approach to our programming. So we do a lot of other things too. We have residencies. We've just recently run our pilot cinema program as well. And so I think part of the thinking behind the library was really looking at the library as a space for kind of civic engagement, community building. It's not just about reading books. It's about being together and sharing knowledge. Council libraries do also increasingly offer services like that. There's often mums groups and English classes and lots of things that happen at these spaces, and they're really, really crucial, we think, for the community.
Yeah, ours has a makerspace.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Like amazing with sewing and 3D printing and stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, why decide to include a library when I know that your part of town too has a lot of creativity in its libraries?
I think that we decided to create a library because we wanted to integrate the space in with other aspects of our programming. And we also wanted the library to be curated by our community. So the approach that we're taking to resources or to the text that we're including is that we're approaching artists, academics, activists, anyone who's been a part of our program in the last 2 years to nominate three texts or three resources that they would like to see included in the library. And then from that, we'll look at the budget and we're going to try and include at least one that people have nominated, and hopefully that we can use that methodology moving forward. So I suppose that's a little bit different to the council-run libraries.
Very. Like, yeah. It's community curated.
Yeah.
I suppose council-run libraries go, you know, if we get a lot of orders for X book, we'll get that book, but it's a different, grassroots thing.
Also, like, a lot of people don't know that they can go and be like, hey, can you get this in for me? You know, that's just, like, not a thing.
Yeah, I know, which is really sad. But let's talk about the practicalities for a minute. Rainbow, how are you going to deal with things like borrowing and returning? Do you have cards? How does it work?
At the moment, it's a non-system. Like, as it goes, people often just wander in and they go, oh, can I buy this book, please? And I go, no, you know what? It's a little independent library. If you want to take it, just read it and bring it back. If you can, send me a photo of you with the book. You know, it's based on, like, trust and the hope that if you treat people in the way that you'd like, they'll bring it back to you, you know, and it gives people the space to do that.
And it's a social media space, isn't it, too? Because you've got all these pictures on Instagram of people holding up their books.
Yeah, which is pretty cute.
It's just very
cute.
Nice.
It's nice.
But it's also generative, isn't it? Because people share that with other people, and so the library gets better known and the concept gets better known.
It's true. And I get to meet so many lovely, interesting people. So sick.
Well, what kinds of conversations have you had in the library?
Oh, many. So many. I have so many people who just wander in. Like, there's so many locals. I'm trying to think of, like, a really good example. A really particularly strange one that I think reflects on sort of how our library, my library space is when we were fitting it out, I work late at night, and I finish at around, you know, between 12 and 2. And we were, you know, stealing time in the evenings late in the evening.
Yep, after shifts
to fit it out, just me and my friend. And we had the door open and we were like installing shelves and racks and stuff. And this tiny little waif of a human at about 4:30 in the morning just wanders in and starts watching us. And we just go about our business and they just stand there and we're just hanging out. And it, you know, we just gave them the space to be and exist. And we had a little chat here and there. We had a fish tank in there and they were watching the fish tank and it was beautiful. And it was empty and they thought there was a lizard in there. And then after about 45 minutes, they left. We're like, bye.
Yep. And there's a space to be for someone who, I imagine, at 4:30 in the morning is a hard time to find a space to just be and not be hassled.
100%. Yeah.
We're speaking with Rainbow Hassan, who's the founder of Rainbow's Library in Brunswick, which is a new independent library, and Lucy Loy, who's the community manager at Seventh Gallery in Richmond, an artist-run space which has decided to launch a community library and reading room as well as part of their practice. Some really interesting text coming in. Re-local libraries, I am very concerned. Talk about soft target. Please, is anyone aware that state governments want to cut budgets? This is crazy. And I'm assuming the response would be, this won't hurt libraries because it performs a different function.
Interesting. I think that budget cuts will hurt anything that the budget's being cut from.
Oh, yeah, no,
from,
I mean, but I meant you guys starting your libraries,
our libraries
is not a bad thing.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing. Decentralizing the sources of knowledge is always a good thing. And I think that's exciting. It's really exciting. We were just having a conversation before we came in to this interview and we were talking about all of the other libraries as well as the tiny libraries and reading rooms. There's kind of other ones internationally as well.
Lots.
It's another interesting one. I always encourage readers to borrow books from public libraries, the council-run ones, because the public lending rights scheme pays authors when their books are borrowed from public libraries. But, of course, this doesn't happen with secondhand books or street libraries. Good point. And some other examples coming through. We have a volunteer-run tiny library in Bilpin, which is in a semi-rural area. The community loves it. Lots of donations and chats about books, and we are soon expanding with a Starlink internet service. Good to know. We're speaking with Rainbow Hassan and Lucy Loy, who are both, as we heard, involved in starting a new library, which sounds like this massive kind of thing, but as we've heard, can be quite an organic process or a collaborative process. Lucy, how will the practicalities work in your library? Will it just be open to the public? Anyone can wander in? Will you have cards, memberships?
Well, we're kind of working it out as we go along. It's still in its early stages. We're kind of making a list of resources currently. But I think really we want to encourage the community to come and be in our space. And so it will start as a non-lending library. So it's kind of more of a reading room, I suppose. Anyone who hasn't been to Seventh in Richmond, we're in an old maternal child health clinic, which is in the side of Citizens Park. So we've got a lovely kind of park that surrounds our space. And we've got some new kind of outdoor chairs that you can drag out onto the lawn and take your book out and read in the sun, which will be hopefully, yeah, I encourage everyone once we launch the library to come on down. It might be cold in winter, so we're trying to kind of create the reading room to be a kind of welcoming space where people can also spend time. And maybe, you know, I guess as the library kind of grows and progresses, maybe it will become a lending library, but I don't think we have the resources as a artist-run space to manage that level of admin just yet.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Well, yeah, Rainbow, I understand there have been some issues with the space that you have at the moment. How sustainable do you feel this library is?
Oh, my God, it's so precarious. But so the space we were in, it's just like a filling space, you know what I mean? Like it's an unutilized space and we just were like, we'll use it while we can and see what happens, fly by the seat of our pants. And less than a month after opening, there were changes happening in the building space and we were no longer allowed access. So we have to move out of the space we are in at the mid next month. And thankfully, as of a few days ago, we've found a new spot, which is awesome. I'm stoked. It's just a shed but it's a beautiful shed, and it is behind one of my favourite cafes in Brunswick East, and I'm so excited to be there behind Suntop Plaza. It's going to be great.
Yeah, 3,500 books. I was getting very worried there for a couple of minutes, but no, it's got a happy ending.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
What about the use of your time? I mean, as you say, you're using stolen time around the other things in your life. Can
exactly
you sustain
what it is.
That?
You know, it's pretty burnout city, but realistically, no, but it saves me from being incredibly depressed. So that's a good thing. And, you know, creating a space for people is super important, you know. And I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to do it. We'll see. Like, my ethos is let's go. Let's just go and see how it goes, you know, and try our best, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I do like about between 20 and 25 hours a week at the library, and then I go and do like another 38 hours a week work. So it's not really the most practical thing, but, you know, why not?
Some lovely, lovely responses to this discussion about independent libraries. People saying, this is great. I love this idea. Indie library, book club, etc. says Kylie, it's all good. Your guest is correct about the rapid disposal of public library books. I've been concerned, says Sam, that non-fiction books only a couple of years old with almost invisible blemishes are being discarded in Tasmania. Surely the standards for the physical condition of books are too high, given that money for public libraries is so tight. I sense that this discussion could go on for quite a long time, but we will draw it to a close now. Rainbow Hassan, Lucy Loy, thanks so much for coming into Life Matters.
Thanks for having us.
Rainbow is the founder of Rainbow's Library in Brunswick, and as you heard, they found a new space. And Lucy Loy is the community manager at Seventh Gallery in Richmond, which is going to launch its community library and reading room in a couple of months.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.